You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
Your dog has just come home from having major surgery on its knee, back, or hip. There's so much to remember. Antibiotics, pain medication, keeping it quiet. Now, how long was it supposed to be on leash walks only? How are you supposed to flex the joint? When can you give it a bath? You thought you remembered all the directions, but you just aren't sure if it could only be written down in a way that you could easily access, oh yes, and understand. Top Dog Health and Rehabilitation is just what the doctor ordered. Dr. James Sinclair will lead us through why he founded this company and how it can ease your mind and your dog's body before, during, and after surgery, and just maybe how to keep a pet from needing surgery in the first place. We'll be right back after this short break. So sit, stay. We'll be right back.
Are you crazy about cats? If so, check out The World is Your Litter Box, Deluxe Edition. This clever how-to manual for cats, written by a cat named Quasi, contains more laughs than should be allowable in one book, and is poignantly underscored by the combative yet loving relationship between Quasi and his human. The World is Your Litter Box, Deluxe Edition, is guaranteed to have you laughing your tail off. So, treat yourself to a copy today. Available from Amazon.
I Love My Pets, the new single by Mark Winter, available in iTunes.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Dr. Sinclair, thank you very much for being with us today.
Great. Thank you very much, Dr. Cruz, for having me on the show. I wanted to just first say that I'm so impressed with everything that you have done, and I think you're an amazing advocate for pets and a great ambassador for our profession, so I appreciate all your hard work.
Well, what you're doing is so unusual and so different, and it's fabulous because there are so many times. Now, I personally don't do orthopedic surgery. It's one of those things, soft tissue, yes, but when it gets down to bones, maybe because I just don't have that spatial expertise,
right.
I'll have an expert come in and do the procedure or refer out, but then I need to do the follow-up care. And sometimes it's like, oh, I'm really not sure what I'm supposed to do.
Right.
So services like yours are spectacular, because going to Dr. Google, oh, you get what you pay for sometimes. But how did you start all this? Give me some of your background. Tell our listeners how you started this.
You know, I think it's an interesting story because I never expected that I would be in the position that I'm at now, because I had no intentions of anything like this, you know, back when I graduated vet school in 2003. But in my last year of vet school, I was finishing up at the University of Illinois, and they had a canine rehab program, and it was really kind of new to the university scene, even though rehab had been out there for a good, you know, 20 years. And I'm just going to clarify, rehab is what we consider in the veterinary world as veterinary physical therapy. We can't use that term, so we call it rehabilitation. So it was just getting popular, and you started to see it in the veterinary journals, and I was floored at the quantum shift where you know, these, you know, in the older days, with a lot of certain orthopedic cases or the neuro cases, the, you know, where the dogs had disc surgeries, these dogs were, you know, they were being put into crates, and we were advising them to rest them and to not do anything. Whereas the concept of physical therapy and postoperative therapy is completely the opposite. You know, you want to get working early. You want to do certain things, you know, immediately postoperative and then, you know, in the short period of time afterwards. So I just got, I got enamored with it. And I said, you know, I got to be a part of this trend because it's awesome. And so when I graduated vet school, you know, within, I had already set my eyes on opening a canine rehab facility. And, you know, my intention originally was to be the medical director or the veterinarian that was kind of overseeing the facility and to hire, you know, the certified veterinary rehab staff. There's two programs that are out there in the country that certify individuals, whether they're doctors or veterinary technicians. And, you know, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to oversee it. I wanted to have a facility like that. And so, in 2004, we opened Top Dog, and it was in a 2,500 square foot facility. We had an indoor pool, and we had the underwater treadmill, a couple exam rooms, and you know, not knowing anything about business at the time, because I was a veterinarian, and nobody schooled me on that, or I didn't school myself. You know, I had this "if I build it, they will come" kind of mentality, and in my local area, it was a little early for, you know, for this area. And so I started going and talking to local surgeons, and, you know, I sent out marketing pieces to the local veterinary staff or local veterinary hospitals. And I was, you know, just kind of waiting. And it was slow. And slowly but surely, people started trickling through the door. And most of the time, it was people that were looking for more. You know, they were looking for answers on what to do after the surgeries. And so I, they found us online and through referrals, and slowly but surely that business grew and, you know, and took off. So.
And Dr. St. Clair, you're so right, because my aunt recently had knee surgery and she had a knee replacement. Right. She was up literally the following day. They were making her do physical therapy. And yes, right. I know in dogs, because of legality and just verbiage, we have to call it rehabilitation, though you do so much of the same. And when I graduated from school a couple of years before you from UC Davis, none of this was addressed, and even pain medication wasn't addressed, because we thought, oh, a little pain is good for them. It keeps them quiet.
Right.
And that's one of the things I love so much about veterinary medicine, is it's constantly evolving. It's right. constantly changing. We're constantly learning and being able to offer even better things to our clients and to our patients.
And I think our clients expect that now, you know, because if they're getting those same services for themselves, it should translate into the medicine that we provide, you know, to our patients. It's, you know, if a human needs it, most likely a pet's going to need a similar kind of a thing.
One of the things that's so difficult, and I'd love to have you address this, because, you know, as I said, even pain medication is one of these areas that's still being explored. And so many times people will come in, and I'm sure you see it all the time, because I know that you treat pets not just after surgery, but there are animals that are arthritic, etc. And people say, well, I'm not even sure if it's in pain, because it's not crying out, it's not wincing, it's not doing these things. How do you tell people what to look for in a dog or a cat? Because I know this is Top Dog, but right. tell me whether or not you treat cats.
Yes, of course we do.
Good. All right. So what do you tell people to look for with regard to your pet is in discomfort?
So that's a great question. And I am insanely passionate about this topic, as it sounds like you are. And you know, one of the things that in the early days of me seeing clients at Top Dog, and even in my own practice, you know, if I knew a dog is in pain, because I know, because I can read a dog, you know, I will always ask a client, you know, do you think your dog is in pain? And the biggest misconception amongst pet owners is that, you know, the response would always be the same. No, the dog is not whining or crying, you know, overtly limping, some like in-your-face kind of sign that would make them think that their dog was in pain. And a lot of times, you know, we put our human kind of emotions and our human ways of dealing with things. If we're in pain, we tell everybody under the sun, you know? I mean, that's, you know, because we're looking for empathy. And that's a way of dealing with it. And in dogs, it's very different. So this is a two-part answer to your question. The first thing that I do is, as a veterinarian, if I know in my heart and from evaluating a dog that a dog is in pain, what I like to do is what I call a pain trial. And what I will do is I will do a comprehensive pain management of the dog for 7 days. And I do that, and I have my clients call me 7 days later and tell me, what is the difference in your dog from a functional standpoint, but yet also from an emotional standpoint? You know, is the dog, does the dog seem lighter and happier and freer and kind of back to the way that the day previous? A lot of times it's so subtle that people miss it, you know? They don't see it. So that's one thing that I really like to do. But in terms of, you know, the chronic slow progression of joint disease, which is...
Oh, it's just getting old, dog. You know, doc, yeah. It's just getting old. There's
right,
nothing
right.
we can do.
That is so common. I mean, you hear it every day. I hear it every day. And it really hurts me. And that's why I like to do the pain trial, because one thing is for sure, right? Nobody wants their dog in pain, but they don't think the dog is in pain. But if you show them by using pain management that the dog improves, then they're a little bit more receptive to that option. But what we have at Top Dog, we've coined the 12 silent signs of joint pain. And, you know, a lot of what we do at Top Dog, we've developed a variety of different products, you know, based around natural joint health. But our drive is to educate consumers or pet owners about what to look for. How do you catch it before it gets too bad? So we have the 12 silent signs of joint pain. Things like slowing down. And like you mentioned, you know, a dog, an owner saying, oh, they're just getting older. No, they're not just getting older. I have a 13-year-old dog who is very vibrant, you know, and plays like he's a 5-year-old. So in a lot of cases, that slowing down is not just getting older. Slow to get up. People can appreciate, you know, just it looks like the dog is, you know, a little stiff, a little slow in getting up. They may start avoiding stairs, you know, or hesitating at the bottom of stairs. Or when they're walking up the stairs, they may do it one step at a time, but it looks like it's ginger. Other people, there are situations where they'll avoid jumping in and out of the car. Something as simple as the dog sleeping more, like, you know, lounging in bed a little bit longer, or even like a reluctance to go on walks and where they're not walking quite as long. The more common things that you and I notice are things like bunny hopping, where the dog, you know, has their hind legs kind of closer together, and they're using two legs instead of one, because if they use one at a time, it's a little bit more painful. Or something like muscle loss. If you feel your dog, if you touch your dog and you feel the muscles in the hind leg, you can appreciate, you know, that they're starting to lose some. So those are the things that we're trying to educate people on.
And that is so wonderful, because as you're saying, people just aren't aware of it. And yes, getting old is not a disease.
Right.
It's a process.
Right.
It happens day by day. There's nothing that we can do to stop it other than, yes, we know the ultimate thing that can be done.
Right.
But there are so many things that can be done to increase the quality of the life, not just the quantity of the life, because we all want to live that long, beautiful life. Now, you have this fabulous site. I love your website. It has a lot of good information on it. So one of the things, Dr. Sinclair, that I see on your site, and people can get so misled from looking at the internet, Dr. Google, talking to friends, going to their natural health food store, etc. They see all these supplements, and one of the catchphrases we all hear is, oh, glucosamine chondroitin sulfate. It's good for your joints. It gets rid of the pain. You use this, you know, you or your dog, your cat is going to feel so much better. We'll never need surgery again. And I know that supplements are an area that are just a big bugaboo, because what it says on the label, what's truly inside, and claims aren't always the same. How does somebody, Dr. Sinclair, tell if this is a good product and what it's really supposed to do. If you could address glucosamine chondroitin sulfate, what is it? How is it supposed to help?
Okay, great. So I have empathy for pet owners that are out there that are trying to make these decisions on their own, whether it's searching through Dr. Google or going to the pet stores. It can be really challenging. My first thing that I would have to say is go to the experts. Talk to your veterinarian about adding a joint supplement into your dog's diet, and because they will at least have advice in terms of what products are trusted, you know, at least within the veterinary world.
When should they start this? Oftentimes, it's already have the arthritis. I believe you should start when they're young.
Yeah, absolutely. So there are a variety of different ways of dealing with it. The first thing would be if you have a breed, obviously, that is a known kind of offender or predisposed based on size or just its breed characteristics of having joint disease, and you know that that's part of the future come 10 years or 11 years, by all means, absolutely start supplementing with a good product. It doesn't have to be the biggest, baddest product with the most, you know, natural anti-inflammatories in it and all these things, but a simple glucosamine and chondroitin product with maybe MSM would be a great product to go for. If that is not how you're going to go about it, you know, I would say at the very early signs, like we talked about, the 12 subtle signs, if there is any question of your dog slowing down or having joint issues, then I would, you know, go out and get your dog on one of those supplements as fast as possible. In terms of trying to choose the right supplement, I have a big problem with the supplement industry and how that, you know, it's very confusing for consumers. I mean, even me as a very informed consumer, as I go into the supermarkets and I start searching for foods for myself or supplements for myself, it's very consuming. And I like to think I'm an aware and educated consumer. You know, you can't 100% trust what a label says. You know, all glucosamines are not created equal. There are raw materials that are coming into this country that are from all around the world. And, you know, you can buy a joint supplement that costs you $13 for a month, or you can find a joint supplement, you know, from Top Dog that'll cost you $60 a month. Is there a difference between those two products? Oh, you bet. You know, I mean, there's a big difference.
And the most expensive isn't necessarily the best product when you're
out
there, too.
Absolutely. Right, of course, because there's economies of scale. You know, we as a small company can't produce a really high-quality product and put it out there at a low price because we just can't produce enough of that. So one of my things that I would say for consumers is obviously go and talk to your veterinarian about it. If you're buying something off of the shelf, then bring that product to your veterinarian and discuss that with them. Otherwise, do your research. You know, before you go and buy that, look at the company. Look at who's making it. Who's the science team behind it? Are they out there, like we're very out there in the open about our raw materials and where they come from? They're all from the United States. That's something that's really important to us. Is that saying that there are raw materials from overseas that aren't as good as the United States ingredients? Of course not. You know, but this is one way that we've found of, you know, making sure and protecting that we're getting good raw materials, because we know that there's lots of regulations in the United States when it comes to raw materials. So learn the company, talk to your veterinarian, and I think you'll be able to find a good product. There is a solid handful of good products on the market, and there is probably three handfuls of poor products, you know.
We're talking right now to Dr. James St. Clair. He is the founder of Top Dog Health and Rehabilitation. We're learning some really important things of trying to keep your dog moving freely. So before you freely leave this site right now, why don't you stay a little bit longer? We're going to have a short break, come back, and talk about ways that if your pet is hurting, if your pet does need some help with rehabilitation, where you can go to get some great information. And that's Top Dog Health and Rehabilitation. We'll be right back.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Dog Shelter Blues, the new novel by Mark Conkling. This hard-hitting story lights up the world of animal rescue with engaging characters and their pets. struggling with their own internal demons as they attempt to rescue innocent creatures that sometimes bring a mysterious transforming power to broken lives. Read the first chapter of Dog Shelter Blues free at dogshelterblues.com. Then come along a breathtaking journey that ends with an astonishing triumph of good over evil. Order your copy of Dog Shelter Blues today, available at Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Hi, this is Tim Link, animal communicator and pet expert, and host of Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have you ever wanted to know what your pet is really thinking? Do you want to find out if they truly understand what you're trying to tell them? Ever wish you could build a better understanding and closer relationship with your pet? Well, now you can. Learning to communicate with animals is a four-part on-demand workshop. In the workshop, you'll learn the essential techniques that are necessary to communicate with animals, including what is animal communication, breathing correctly to achieve the perfect state to communicate with your animals at a deeper level, using guided meditation exercises and method to communicate with animals, and how to send and receive information from your animals. So if you're wanting to learn how to communicate and connect with your animals at a deeper level, visit PetLifeRadio.com/workshop and purchase and download Learning to Communicate with Animals. You'll be glad you did.
Jungle deep, 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 deep.
When I talk about exotic animals, I am not talking about goats and salamanders. No. This is Dr. Jones of the Jungle Deep Podcast. On my show, we explore the jungle, searching for the most exotic, most endangered animals on Earth. If you love nature and her creatures like I do, listen to Jungle Deep.
Jungle deep, 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 deep,
deep. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and we'll see you now.
Dr. St. Clair, this information that you have is so unique of being able to go to your site, Top Dog Health and Rehabilitation, and find videos. It's not, sometimes I can read something, it's like, that's nice, what does that mean?
Right.
But to be able to see how to massage a dog, how to move a joint, it's like, oh, that's what they wanted me to do. How did you start putting together all this information?
It's a great question. You know, it evolved. Early on when I had my first facility, I was consulting for an orthopedic surgeon, and I was working in my practice all day. In the lunchtime, I would drive 20 minutes, I would go evaluate a whole ton of dogs, I would then go back to my practice, then go back to my rehab facility for nights, and, you know, it was a busy, busy time. But in doing and writing these very kind of individualized instructions for each patient, there was patterns. I mean, there were very similar things amongst similar surgeries and how the dogs were coming out and what the pet owner could do after surgery. And I just started putting those together. And, you know, the first booklet we had was like a photocopied sheet. And then eventually it evolved, you know, to what it is today. And it's, you know, a 60-page color guide. It's very crystal clear. It's a step-by-step process that helps, you know, walk them and hold pet owners' hands through the recovery process. Now, there's one thing I want to say. One thing that our company strongly, strongly advocates is the information that we provide is the basic guidelines. There is absolutely no replacement for seeking out a canine rehab facility that is in your local area. And on topdoghealth.com, we have a directory of all of the different rehab facilities that are across the country so that, you know, we can be an advocate for those services by those professionals. So that is, that's that. What I was going to then go on to just mention is when I realized that I had put these guides together and we had these great pictures, you know, there's no better way than showing somebody in a video format. you know, how to do it, because they get to know me, they can see me, and they can see how I'm doing it. And so we made an online kind of rehab center, which is topdoghealth.com/rehabcenter. And in there, there's a bunch of videos and articles, and there's a checklist, and there's all kinds of things. So, you know, it's taken us a long time to put all this information out there, but every day I get dozens of emails of people in awe and thanking us, you know, for the information that we provide. And that's the reward, you know.
We all learn so differently, and having all of these various resources available online, free, someplace where, you know, I can send a client here and feel comfortable that they're getting reputable, true information.
Right.
Even just having a library, I'll say words and I know that people, you know, they don't want to look like fools, they don't understand, but these are different terminologies, different words, things they've never heard of. You know, here they can go and go, oh, that's what they meant by that word TPLO.
Right.
I just throw it out sometimes, not even hearing myself, because it's called the curse of knowledge. I know
right.
what I mean.
Right.
They don't.
Right.
So here they go, oh, that's what they meant. So these things, I think, are so helpful. And especially, no matter where you are in the United States, if you're in the middle of South Dakota and you need a board-certified veterinary surgeon, yes, you should be able to ask your veterinarian. But sometimes I know clients feel a little bit uneasy of saying, gee, doc, you know, I'd really like to see a specialist or get a second opinion.
Right.
Number one, they should never feel embarrassed. I mean, we are
Absolutely.
Not gods. No, we're all learning.
Right.
And if you want a second opinion, fabulous. And your place, your website allows them to learn these various things.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, on the opposite side of things, we have been embraced by tons of veterinary practices that have used us as a resource, you know, where at discharge, they're going through the Top Dog Rehab books. They're showing the owners the website and the resources that they have. So it's adding an immense value to the veterinary hospitals as well. Because, I mean, we all have the same goals, right? To do no harm, you know, and to do the best that we possibly can and try to help the pet and try to help the pet owners as much as we possibly can. We all have great intentions, but sometimes it's just not enough. There's not enough time to hold their hand and walk them through every little detail. And like you said, the curse of knowledge. What seems like a simple concept of passive range of motion is a whole different terminology. And it needs to be broken down and simplified for pet owners who aren't used to those words.
One of the things, Simplify, that you have is a checklist, which I think is so important, because you and I have surgery and going, okay, I've had surgery and I expect to be back on my feet. Gee, I know it's not going to be immediate, but by the end of the week, you know, I should be back and I can be able to be out there running or doing whatever I'm supposed to do.
Right.
And in reality, no, it's going to take time. So walk the listeners through, for instance, one of the most common surgeries I believe that dogs will have is a torn cruciate ligament. I'll call it a football injury, where a football player, a soccer player, whatever, gets tackled, feet stay one place, legs go the other.
Right.
That ligament that connects the bottom portion of the leg to the top, poof, it just pops, either a partial tear or complete. Now we have an unstable knee. It hurts. We're doing surgery to repair it. How long is it going to take for that dog to be back on its paws again? What does an owner need to do week by week?
Right. So that is the thorn in my side. You know, it is the thing that I have been working tirelessly at trying to relay to pet owners is the timeline, the expectations. You know, the problem is that dogs are function-based. The knee becomes stabilized, and the dog says, I'm ready to go. Let's go. And when the reality is, it's not ready to go. And this is why so many dogs end up tearing their opposite ACL, because the first leg has never fully recovered. I always tell people, and I say it throughout our information that we provide, it takes 6 months for full recovery. It's as simple as that. I don't care how you want to get around it. It takes 6 months. Now, in veterinary medicine, we tell people 12 weeks. Well, yes, 12 weeks for us to look at the dog, functionally see that the dog is bearing good weight on the leg and using it, can go from a walk to a trot or even a run. But when you feel that leg, when you feel the muscle in that leg, you will see that that muscle is still not back to the size that it once was. And if the muscle is not back to the size that it once was, if it's not the same size as the opposite leg, the dog is not ready to be off leash. That's the way we explain it. You got to get the muscles in the hind leg to be both the same size. Because what ends up happening is, let's say the dog feels great. 12 weeks, looks normal to the average person, even the veterinarian maybe is like, wow, your dog's doing great. And that dog, a good spring day comes, there's a squirrel in the yard, and, you know, Rocket takes off. And because the surgery leg, the original one, wasn't fully recovered, it's now going to rely on the other good leg. So it's going to explode with that leg with all of its force, and it's going to hyperextend, and it's going to blow the other knee, or it's going to injure its other knee. So 6 months is the full timeline. Now, that doesn't mean that at, you know, 3 weeks or at 12 weeks, you can't be taking your dog for you know, jogs and hikes or stuff like that. They're all individualistic, so you got to evaluate how your dog is doing at that time. But I'm saying the dog still has to be on the leash, and it still has to be controlled.
So you need to be conservative, you need to be realistic, and above all, you need to be very, very patient.
Yes.
And tell your pup, sorry, honey, this is how it goes.
Right.
So, okay, the first we have recovery. Right afterwards, we've had our surgery, we've come home. What do they need to do?
Oh, so in our guides, I have tried the best that I possibly can to prepare or to have a section that kind of addresses that. One of the things that we haven't talked about, if an individual, if a pet owner is out there, their dog is torn its ACL, they come to Top Dog Health, they look for one of our home rehabilitation guides, and they download the free version. When they do that, they get enlisted into what we call the 12-week email series. Mm. So this is 12 weeks where they're getting additional information from me that is walking them through really the psyche parts and the evaluating parts of where the dog should be at different periods of time. So that's a whole nother added thing that we have.
And this is all for free?
It's all for free. Yep.
Wow, you're crazy. You're giving this all away.
Some would say. But the beginning part of this gets into how do you prepare your house? You know, what are things that you need to do to your house to kind of rearrange your lifestyle and the lifestyle that the dog, you know, had pre-injury? Because we know how many dogs are sleeping in bed.
And then jumping off the bed afterwards.
Yeah, and jumping on the bed, you know, which is both a problem, you know. These dogs, after surgery, can't do that. So we have a section in the booklet and in our emails that discusses, you know, how to prepare for the homecoming. Having a dog crate or a gated area is a good way of doing it. Make it super comfortable for your dog, you know, with a nice orthopedic bed. Absolutely no jumping, no stairs. If you're going to do stairs, you know, we encourage them. We have some support harnesses, but we encourage them to at least add a little bit of a weight assistance to the back legs. I don't want a dog on a leash that, you know, the owner is holding the handle and the dog is 10 feet in front of it and the dog's running up stairs after surgery. That's a disaster waiting to happen. You know, if you got to do stairs, then you got to do it super slow. And if you're going to do it super slow, if you can add a little extra support, even something as simple as a towel, you know, around the belly would make a big difference in just protecting that leg. I look at it as if it's an investment. You know, not only an investment financially, because a lot of these surgeries cost a lot of money, you know, but it's an investment in my dog and, you know, its health and its well-being in future. So I try to get people to really be conservative and protect that investment.
If you're going to be doing this, you really have to realize it's the long term. You have to, as you're saying, know what you're in for. Ask the questions ahead of time. Dr. Sinclair, if you can just really wrap this up, because I know we could go on for another half hour on. You have some marvelous information. Thankfully, you have a great website where people can go to. So stage one, we're recovery. We're going to rest, heal, get that pet feeling better? Because this can take a lot out of these babies. What stage two?
So stage two is really starting to evaluate the long-term management of the joint. So we have at Top Dog, one of our sayings is, you know, we help dogs get better, stay better, and feel better, right? That's what's important to us. The staying better is really, really important to me. You have to understand, no matter what the joint injury or the surgery, orthopedic, if it's involving a joint, we just mucked with nature a little bit. Nothing is ever going to be as good as nature put it together originally. So with that, there are going to be age-related changes. And so, you know, we have to look at that comprehensive long-term management, and a lot of that surrounds finding the right joint supplements, you know, that has those building blocks like we discussed, and also has some of those proven natural anti-inflammatories, so that, you know, we're holistically trying to reduce the body's inflammation and continuing to help the joint allow it to maintain itself and keep healing itself.
And keep that pet an appropriate weight.
Oh,
so often these babies are overweight, they're chunky monkeys, and
yep.
It's not just mechanically the weight that they're carrying on the joints. All the studies have now shown that the fat, especially the fat that's inside the abdominal cavity, produces a tremendous number of chemicals, and many of those are inflammatory. And
right.
You've just been talking about all these anti-inflammatories, and one of the best things I'll always tell clients that they can do, all these medications, all these surgeries, everything else that's possible, get them to lose weight. That
Absolutely.
Is of paramount importance.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Dr. St. Clair, this information has just been fabulous. I really appreciate everything that you're doing for those dogs and cats that are out there. People, when they're watching and they're seeing information on dogs, can they pretty much translate that into what they can do for cats also?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we definitely see a far less number of cats. But cats do suffer from a lot of, especially, you know, joint disease. But they also, there's cats out there that do tear their ACLs. There's cats that have hip dysplasia. So the principles are all the same, you know, and it translates, yeah, 100%.
So any age, any breed, really any species, if they have a little joint, they can have problems also. This is a great site to go to. So Top Dog Health and Rehabilitation. Dr. Sinclair, thank you very much for being with us today.
Dr. Cruz, thank you very much for giving us the time and continue doing the great things that you do, and we appreciate it.
Thank you so much. You've been listening to Dr. Bernadine Cruz and Dr. St. Clair on The Pet Doctor. Appreciate you listening. Please tune in again next week when you can hear information on how to make you the best possible pet owner you can be. Thanks for listening.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life because they're a member of the family. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.